for the Drive's top four at four.
Hour number two of the Drive underway. Today's top four at four is brought to you by our friends at Wave Tech Medical. Catch the wave today online at wavetechmedical.com. John Tyler in with a quick look around your world of sports. The top four at four starts now.
Number one, Zion made his debut last night, scoring 22 points, 7 rebounds, and three assists in his debut against the San Antonio Spurs.
He's good at basketball. That is my NBA analysis for the afternoon.
Still don't care about the NBA. Not yet.
No. Number two.
We'll get there.
Number two, Tennessee offensive lineman Trey Smith will be honored with the inaugural Fritz Pollard Trophy at the 15th annual Johnny L. Cochran Jr. Salute to Excellence Awards. The Fritz Pollard...
Wait.
That was a mouthful.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit? That Johnny Cochran?
Sure, maybe. I'll research that.
It's the only one I know of.
The trophy honors a college player who has exemplified extraordinary courage, community values, and exceptional performance on the field and off the field.
Well, he hits all those.
Oh, yeah. He risked his life for our team.
I'm still scared for him to play football. Like, I'm glad he's coming back, but it's just it's
I am, too.
Awkward,
there was
man.
A time when I wouldn't have been, and now that I've got – I don't know if it's because I have a child of my own.
Or that you have a medical degree.
Just on the radio.
I mean, it's I hope it works out for him. I hope the story about the scar tissue being the cause of the second incident and maybe not a recurrence of the blood clot, I hope that's true and that he just has the situation under control and that not only will he be able to play football, but that he'll be able to live a normal life into a ripe old age. But it is still a little bit worrisome.
Number 23 Tennessee, who's 15-3 and 5-1 in the SEC, will be in Hartford, Connecticut tonight to take part in the Basketball Hall of Fame Revival Series versus number 3 UConn, who's 16-1 and 7-0 in their small crappy conference at the XL Arena. Tip-off is slated for 7 p.m. Eastern. This will mark the 23rd meeting between these programs, who have combined to win 19 NCAA championships and 2,538 games. They have one common component between the two, and that is Notre Dame, who Connecticut dismantled earlier in December. Connecticut also played Vanderbilt this season and beat them only by 12.
Wow. What's the all-time series at for the Lady Vols in UConn?
Is it 13-7?
That's a great question.
UConn?
13-7 UConn.
I mean, we probably
I don't like them. I don't like them one bit, Russ.
I'm glad you're jumping on the bandwagon. Are you going to watch the game tonight, Bear?
Yeah, we'll see. I'll keep track of the score.
Going to live tweet it?
No. Is there a live tweet? Young lady went in for a layup, bounced it off the bottom of the rim, hit her in the face.
Come on, man. What are you doing?
Sorry.
You talk about, like, how your opinion of Trey Smith was different because you're a dad, you have a son. If you had a daughter, you wouldn't be saying ignorant stuff like that on the radio. I guarantee you.
Number four. The Big 12 Conference issued its formal reprimands in response to Tuesday night's brawl between Kansas and Kansas State, handing down suspensions to four players involved in the incident. Among them, Kansas big man Silvio De Sousa received the harshest punishment with a 12-game suspension. His teammate David McCormick is suspended for 2 games. Kansas State players James Love and Antonio Gordon received bans of 8 and 3 games, respectively, for their roles in the incident as well. The Big 12 SEC Challenge is happening this whole weekend. We have Kansas State will take on Alabama. TCU will take on Arkansas. Iowa State at Auburn. Baylor at Florida. Kentucky at Texas Tech. LSU versus Texas. Mississippi State at Oklahoma. Missouri at West Virginia, Tennessee at Kansas, and Oklahoma State at Texas A&M.
But boy, D'Souza's been nothing but trouble for, like, if they could go back.
Was
just
that worth the investment?
And I can't figure out. I've seen two different figures. Is it 25 grand or 2,500? Have you
I'd
seen there's
25
been
25 grand? I mean, 2,500's not, I mean, not to be.
2,500? 25 grand. Yeah. Okay. Somebody forgot to put a zero.
2,500 seems like that would be a very small rate for a five-star basketball player for a school like Kansas.
I thought 25 grand was kind of cheap.
Yeah, well, there's a case to be made for that, too.
He's brought them nothing but misery.
An update on this Johnny Cochran, according to Hayden, who is staving off execution. I must say, so
the kid's self-preservation skills are incredible.
Yeah, looking good for Hayden. He says this particular Johnny Cochran was not that Johnny Cochran that I was thinking of, the OJ lawyer Johnny Cochran. This was the first black player in the NFL in the 1920s and the first black coach as well, we believe.
Huh.
So congratulations to Troy Smith.
Seems like that would be.
We won't make fun of that guy. We make fun of the other Johnny Cochran. That guy was a trailblazer.
I didn't really make fun of the other Johnny Cochran.
That guy was a clown. He's a terrible human being.
Beat his wife, ex-wife.
Cochran did?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I thought you were just basing it on
that and the whole domestic. Got a murderer off for.
That's his job, though.
Well,
I mean that's his job.
Yeah, kind of like every decision in life has consequences. I mean, if you decide you want to go that route,
I remember they opened a Cochran law firm in Mobile, Alabama, in 2000, and I was like, wait a minute, Johnny Cochran moved to Mobile, Alabama.
Are you from Alabama?
No.
Roll down tide.
I was originally born in Anchorage.
Alaska?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How did we get this far in knowing you, Trey? And this is the first we're hearing that you're an Alaskan.
Let's move on.
Are you an Eskimo?
No, I'm not an Eskimo.
Russ, the proper nomenclature is Inuit.
I thought Inuit was a type of Eskimo.
No.
Is Eskimo politically incorrect? Is that what you're trying to infer?
Probably. Kind of like the fact that Native American people calling Native Americans Indians.
See, I don't think that's offensive either.
You're but not I'm Native not, American.
So only Native Americans can be offended by the term Indian. Then by that logic you can't be offended, so what are you whining about?
After you just got through telling me I should be ashamed of myself, and if I had a daughter?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to really break this down and explain this to you. You're a college graduate.
Please.
Hey, what do you call the casinos, though?
Yeah, they're Indian
casinos.
Do you
call them a Native American casino royale? I mean,
I call them casinos.
We just call it the Wetumpka Indian Casino.
Assuming Wetumpka is the tribe.
It's a city in Alabama.
Oh.
Probably named after an Indian tribe. Right. This is a wild thing about America. Like, everything is named after Indians. Pretty much everything. The rivers, every state. Like, it's wild, man.
Yeah. Is the Cherokee
casino? I have nothing to add.
We came over here and, wiped them out and then kept the names.
But Harris is.
That was the least we could do. It's like, we're going to take all your land.
A bunch of blankets infected with smallpox.
We're going to give you like the worst pieces of the land, the stuff we really don't want to live on. And
until we decide that there's oil underneath it, and then we're taking that too.
Yeah, you get to stay there. Just don't shoot us with arrows or whatever anymore. But for your trouble, we're still going to call your. This place Alabama and this place Tennessee and that place Kansas and Iowa, and like we're to be respectful. Don't mention it. Least we could do. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, portions of which brought to you by our friends at WaveTech Medical. Gentlemen, if you're struggling with onset of erectile dysfunction, then you need to hit up our friends at WaveTech Medical. They've got a great website, wavetechmedical.com. It's quick, it's easy, it's discreet. And if you're struggling with ED, you've probably been inundated with ads for pills and, operations and injections and all sorts of weird stuff that could potentially help this issue. But if you haven't heard about acoustic wave therapy, then you need to check it out, because this is a non-invasive procedure to take care of your ED. This rejuvenates nerve fibers. It causes the migration of stem cells. This is high-tech science, and it's available right here in Knoxville at WaveTech Medical. Again, that website, wavetechmedical.com. You can call 865-761-4401 today. Their Knoxville offices to set up your appointment. That's 761-4401 for WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave today. It's WaveTech Medical. The Drive, Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, Bear here in your Truly Hard Seltzer studios. John Taylor, Tyler, Hayden Wallen hanging out with us as well. Talking a lot of basketball here early on in the show. And one thing we haven't hit on yet was the letter that Jerry Stackhouse released last night. It was embarrassing. What do you think, by the way, and we won't read the whole thing because it was basically the gist, if you don't know what we're talking about. He released a long letter about the streak, the three-point streak ending, and the fans booing all Vanderbilt players as they were making layups or whatever towards the end of the game, and basically, like, let's rally the troops and go forth and give it the old college try or whatever. But I found it kind of cringy myself.
The letter?
Yes. What do you think Jerry Stackhouse hoped to accomplish by doing that?
I'm not sure what he hoped to accomplish, because I would have told him I wouldn't even bother doing that. But I didn't think it was cringy. It's just,
do Vanderbilt fans, like, do they like that? Does that? No, if I was a fan, I would be like, Coach, shut up! You're basically groveling at the knees of Tennessee fans, talking about how you couldn't compete, and reminding everybody that we came in there, bent you over a barrel, showed you the 50 states, took your streak, and took your women on the way out the door. Like, just shut up. Just go coach your team, recruit, get better.
Well, we'll say this. I talked to Chris Lee this morning, who covers Vanderbilt, and he told me, well, at least somebody actually said something after an embarrassing loss. Derek Mason's never apologized to his fans in the 5-plus years he's been there.
All three of them.
For that embarrassment. So, I mean, some people took it as, yeah, cool. At least he did this, you know. At least he's saying something.
Well, I mean, he kind of was chastising them.
Yeah, well, that's the other
thing.
Which
I feel like, it was pretty stupid for them. I don't know. I mean, they're Vanderbilt fans, so, well, I mean, I've got a low opinion of them, but they were booing their own players.
Well, think about the fans that have been going there for 30-plus years, and there actually is a good amount of fans that have been watching, you know, this program 30-plus years, and knowing that a streak that they've been going through for every single game is about to come to a close. I mean, I don't condone the booing, but I'd be like darn upset as well, kind of.
I don't condone the booing. It's just like, dude, I know you weren't there, but they went 0-18 in league play last year. You might be getting set to go 0-18 again. Like, maybe be grateful that anybody's coming to your game in the first place and not chastise the ones that are actually showing up.
Bama went on a 16-0 run last night.
Alabama had some kind of ungodly number of turnovers, and they still beat them by like 15.
The most embarrassing part of this is when he says, you know, the last 3 minutes of the game while we were down 20 and Tennessee began to empty their bench.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Facts. It was cringy.
Well, no,
was
I know like, that.
Don't say that. Like, yeah. I'm a Tennessee guy, and even I'm like, oh, man.
Tennessee,
like,
actually wasn't even in their bench either. They kept their players on the court.
Well, and fans on the
– sorry for Stack.
Not really. Like, he took that job. I'm sure he's getting paid. But I read that, and when I was looking at the responses, there were, like, no Vanderbilt fans chiming in. It was all Tennessee fans just laughing at him and clowning him.
I kind of feel bad for the guy. I bet he wishes he hadn't taken that job.
Is that streak really that big of a deal?
Yeah, for 30-plus years?
That's the only thing those people have to hold on to.
And you got to remember, Vanderbilt basketball, pretty good when they were under Stallings at times. I mean, it's not like...
Doesn't it seem a little late to be releasing that? Like, the moment's gone. Like, why release it yesterday?
Well, because a guy got killed in Nashville for 3 days. His post-game remarks got killed in Nashville, that he was pissed off that they were booing his team. And
I'll just leave it as that.
To me, it shows a little bit of insecurity.
Yes.
As well. It's like, dude, you're in Nashville where their NFL team just lost out on a trip to the Super Bowl. Like, put your head down and go to work. We hear so – what do you – Rick Barnes, like, never – you would think Rick Barnes, the way he coaches, there's nobody in the crowd. Like, he just – you talk about blocking it all out. He's just focused – on the game. And I hear that from, you know, Konzo Martin used to say that. Like, coaches, football, basketball, all like to talk about the good ones to me. You know, like, I'm not concerned with what's going on in the stands. It's guys like Butch Jones who are worried about what the Jumbotron is playing. It's like, dude, like, if somebody asks you about it, like, in a press conference setting, just be like, oh, I didn't hear it. Like, I don't have any comment. I'm coaching my team. We just got drilled by a Tennessee team that might or might not be any good. That's my concern, is, like, getting us better. And
he released it 4 hours before the Bama game, which was weird timing.
Yeah.
And he comes in and says,
makes you look unfocused.
I encourage everyone to support our team as we work to break an SEC losing streak and continue to build the foundation for our program.
Oh. Like, no, Jerry.
And if you look at their basketball recruiting, man, they have mailed it in for next year.
Really?
Yeah. It's not good. Not good.
Maybe a little buyer's remorse already in year number one of the Jerry Stackhouse.
Well,
era.
I think Malcolm Turner already knew who he was going to take as his head coach when he got the job there, because you have to remember that Jerry was in the G League and he was coaching head coach for the top team. Malcolm Turner was the president of the G League. This was a tandem. They knew, Malcolm knew once he got the Vanderbilt job, he was hiring Jerry as his coach.
Part of me admires anybody that goes for the outside the box hire.
Yeah.
We're Vanderbilt. We need to shake it up. We're going to do things a little bit different. You hired your buddy,
right?
Who has no college coaching experience at all.
No high school AAU type stuff, like, really.
I mean, it's very similar to the Penny Hardaway thing, except he doesn't have a whole bunch of recruiting ties where he can get a bunch of elite players to go.
He's just got his
and
name.
Play for your
He's
school.
Jerry Stackhouse. So.
Weird timing.
I don't know.
And the amount of money they had to pay to Bryce Drew as well.
I think it's absolutely hilarious that they lost their streak, though.
You know, they only sent
really hate it for them, don't you?
One coach on the road
yeah.
for recruiting during the open period. They only put one coach on the road.
Yeah, that guy ain't going to work out.
Out of four.
So you were right. The Johnny Cochran Award thing is the whole award show is actually the same Johnny Cochran that you were thinking it was.
Oh,
OJ
it
Johnny.
Is.
Yes. Yeah. The Fritz Pollard Award is for he was the first
Fritz
black
Pollard
NFL player and coach.
Johnny Cochran Jr., his son.
So it's the real.
Why does Johnny Cochran.
His son. It's his son.
Why does Johnny Cochran's son have his own award show?
Because he's a prominent attorney down in that area.
Yeah. They got a lot of the Cochran's. Got a lot of money. Good bit of it's
like,
OJ's.
It's NFL.
He had to give him a lot of money to get him out of that.
So he's just going to be like, all right, I've got all this money. How can I give back? How can I buy an indulgence for the terrible life choices that I've made and the murderers that I've helped skate from justice?
I'll lend my name.
I'm going to title sponsor a college football award show.
Yeah.
That recognizes the best in athletes.
If you were God, would that be enough for being
for
OJ's
OJ?
Lawyer?
Giving millions to the NFL?
I don't know. No.
NFL probably has him on retainer. The son.
His dad got a guy off who lopped his ex-wife's dome off and the guy she was with.
Doesn't fit. Must have quit. It didn't fit.
You don't think
that was old?
This conversation. You think OJ was innocent?
No, I don't think he was innocent. But I think Johnny Cochran did the right thing and got. I mean, did the right thing is a bad way to put it. Johnny Cochran did his job and got him off.
Yeah, I mean,
that's his job.
Everyone deserves legal representation, whether they're innocent or guilty. It's part of being an American. Everyone gets that right.
Do I think OJ Simpson's an idiot? Yes. Do I think he's a killer? Yes. Do I think he got off? Absolutely. Do I fault Johnny Cochran? Nope.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Rick.
Rumblings from the recruiting trail. Of course, Moose was in to see 5-star running back Zach Evans down in Texas earlier this week.
And my Alaskan brother.
He was scheduled. They're calling you Moose too now. Moose Wallace on Twitter now. He was.
I mean, John, hold on. You brought it up again. This is driving me nuts. Why did we not know you were an Alaskan? When did you move to it? It seems strange for somebody to go from the further, you know, the most northern state in the Union to the heart of Dixie.
Moved there when I was, I don't know.
In Alaska?
Anchorage.
Okay.
2 years old. My dad worked for an oil company.
Oh, okay.
Dad worked for an oil company. He was a.
It's not as mysterious as I was making it out.
I have a question.
Yes, John.
He lived there for.
When you lived in Alaska, did you live in an igloo?
Why you gotta be a clown, John?
I have a follow up question to that. I just want to know how do you, in igloos, do you have running water?
They have subdivisions in Anchorage.
John,
Twit.
You got central heating and everything.
Legitimate question.
No, it's not a legitimate question.
No.
I'm sorry that I am interested in Trey's life. Sorry for caring.
You won't get an answer.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah, I moved to Okinawa. Okay.
So sorry, the other moose.
Niedermeyer.
The other moose. Niedermeyer was in to see five-star running back.
Zachary Evans
on Tuesday. He had been scheduled to go see Florida for a visit this weekend, and there are starting to be some rumblings. Well, I saw Ryan Callahan over at 247 basically said, look, the kid doesn't do any media. He's obviously mercurial, prone to change his mind. So it's one of those things where we're just going to have to wait and see where he ends up this weekend, if anywhere. But there are rumblings that maybe Moose convinced him to come check out Knoxville. Come spend the weekend in Knoxville.
I know next weekend he's scheduled to go back to Georgia, which is just so weird to me.
It is really weird. I don't know.
They let him go free and clear.
That's got to be a recruiting first. In recruiting where, you know, nothing surprises me. Like, a guy signs with a school,
has second thought,
backs out, gets the school to release him, which sometimes they fight, you know. They do release him, and then he's like, yeah, but I'm still going to come visit and
this
maybe
is like
even end up there.
Your married buddy that gets divorced, and then a couple of years later he's getting married again, and it's to his ex-wife.
Who's to say this wasn't in the hey, we're going to let you out, but we get your last visit before signing day.
Yeah, but once they let him out, can't you just be like, yeah, tell him what? Sure, okay, that's fine. I'll give you the last visit. They let him out. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Screw you.
It's either that or you got to pay back the money. You pick.
Now, the other interesting thing in this recruitment. Well, there's a lot. First of all, I mean, this is a wild one, right?
Yeah.
Jay Graham at Texas A&M. Former Vol, who is on the short list of candidates to be our next running backs coach, has been recruiting him for Texas A&M, which is the other thought to be the co-leaders with Georgia. Maybe we're a wild card. Don't really know. I don't think anybody knows yet. But if you're Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, that could be a shrewd move, right? It's like, hey, Jay Graham, who Pruitt knows from they were on staff at Florida State together. Obviously, he knows that Jay Graham has been recruiting Zach Evans for a long time, presumably knows him well, has been coaching in Zach Evans' home state. Little package deal there? Go ahead and hire Jay Graham. I'm surprised that we haven't, and I know that we're still waiting to see if there are any other dominoes that are going to fall, but I'm surprised that...
6 days till we find that out for sure, probably.
What?
About the other dominoes that follow the coaches.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't gone ahead and hired somebody.
Running backs coach?
Yeah.
I'm not. It's right before. I mean, even though we've only got technically two spots open.
So
they never make any moves before this last signing day.
But if you're recruiting
NFL too.
If you're wanting to get this kid, you got a chance to get a five-star running back, and we've talked many times, even before we knew this dude was a possibility, about how important that is to get this thing headed in the right direction. You got a chance to recruit this dude. And you don't have a running backs coach. Like, that seems to be a detriment.
You probably
opinion.
Have to give Jay what, 700? He's making 500, but no buyout at A&M. Probably have to give him 7.
Give him whatever it takes, man.
You got to look at the contracts of the other guys on the staff. I mean, the money situation, you know, because
we'll
know.
The money thing, there's so much of it. And
on the 31st, we'll know who, if Rocker, Rumper, and Winky, what the plan is for those three.
Will you guys be upset if Winky leaves?
No.
I could care less, I feel like.
I'll be happy as hell. He can take him and his damn Heisman trophy and get the hell out of the football complex.
I don't understand it. I don't understand the take. I mean, we beat them in 98. It's not like
he ran his mouth since then and act like it would have been any different had he played.
Well, he's a competitor. He's an athlete. Of course he thinks that. The only thing would have
been different is he would have
I would be disappointed if he didn't think that. I want a guy who's going to be my quarterback's coach and a competitor and a recruiter on my staff. Yes, I want him to think that he would have beaten us if he had played us. I don't want him to go, oh, they were just too good. I'm kind of glad I didn't get to play against him because
well, at least I think he was being honest. He would have gotten killed.
What kind of trash him and T talk to about each other?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously.
What trash can he talk to T?
Obviously, T doesn't have a problem with it. If I played in that game,
it would have been a different story.
I think your take's a little soft, Bear, quite frankly.
What? My take on Winky?
Yeah, some guy who never did anything to us, who, like, we have the bragging rights over, and just like, I don't
what
like
what positions he's been coaching since he's been here?
Quarterbacks. Did our quarterbacks not – I mean, what happened?
We're wanting to run our fifth-year starter out of town on a rail, and that's the guy that's been responsible for his development.
I've also maintained that it's a great story because he clearly got turned around. And I know what you're going to say because the circular logic here is, I mean, it can't be anything Winky. It's all Chaney, right?
Yeah, basically.
Chaney took over. Like, Winky wasn't even at practice. He was just sitting over there mixing the Gatorade.
I don't care to have a Seminole up, that Seminole in particular. I mean, why can't we get Warrick Dunn to join our staff?
I mean, our best recruiter in the Butch Jones era was a Gator, Robert Gillespie. Like, our former the athletics director who we spent a couple of minutes – yearning for.
He was
in
a Gator.
The first hour was a Gator. Like, I don't. I just
your
don't
head
care.
Coach your head is coach. A hammer.
I just have never been that impressed with Winky. Look wherever he's been.
Offensive line coach, Bammer. Special teams coach, Bammer. Director of player personnel, Bammer.
Director of football operations, Bammer. That's one thing that keeps me up at night.
The personal assistant to the head coach, Bammer.
The fact that we've got all these damn Bammers, they're coming out of the woodwork here.
There is a part of you that is just like on 24-hour standby, right? It's just
ready to go all in,
just like ready guard. To annihilate Jeremy Pruitt. Like, and we started, like,
oh, yeah.
you let that part of your psyche out to play a little bit in the sun after the Georgia State game.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I told you I'd like nothing better than to be able to turn on him.
Sprinkled some water on it, make sure it's growing. Like, it's just in case we got to keep our chops sharp.
And
fresh.
Look, if he quit 10 minutes from now, what is it, 4:30? If he just left us high and dry right before signing day, from 5 to 6 o'clock, I cut a promo on him. I absolutely would.
That's got to be hard to – I mean, how do you square that in your mind? Like, wanting the guy to succeed, wanting to like him, but also knowing that you could absolutely make – your feelings for Butch Jones look like child's play
compared to somebody from steeped in Alabama.
If you had to,
I mean, it's just I compartmentalize things. Keep them separate. A big turning point for him was the look on his face when he realized he was getting the Alabama screw job down there in that game. Got an Amber Alert.
Yeah, child abduction in Chattanooga.
That's when he became a Vol.
I don't know about.
I think so.
I'm not saying that. But I am saying he endeared himself to me a little bit.
Yeah, He'll never be.
If Saban retired and Big Germ decided if for some reason Alabama decided to hire him, which they wouldn't, and he took the job,
I bring back all the hits.
He'd be down there before the phone call ended.
Hey, Jeremy, this is Alabama. Would you like to be? I'm on my way.
The wife already got the text. Casey's getting the bags, Pat. We'll be there by noon.
I'm on my way. I'm bringing Winky.
Winky.
Can I bring friend and share? Please.
Take him with you.
They're my buddies.
That's what you would say.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you is what I'd say.
You're still out on friend.
Oh, Will Enemy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jeremy, what about the seat? Don't worry about
the offensive line. I mean, the two position coaches, and actually three, the wide receivers looked to be really well coached. The defensive line looked really well coached. And I gave the devil's due. We were really good at pass blocking. We seemed to get better as the year went on. There was some improvement. I'm going to give Will Friend a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but I do reserve the right to completely turn on his ass, too, as soon as football season rolls back around.
That is certainly your right.
Funny, they never let us video the offensive line after the first week of the season.
Real quick, before we go to break, just wrapping up this conversation, I don't know how we got here. Zach Evans.
We've
got a chance. Like, it feels like we're swinging, we're taking our shot.
Can Tennessee afford it?
Yeah.
What are you implying, Trey?
No, I mean affording to take somebody with character issues.
Wouldn't it be the first time?
We used to do a lot more.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering. I think it'd be a great catch if they got him.
It would be one of those. Here's the thing, man. We hear all these rumblings about his weird relationship with Georgia and, you know, the state championship fiasco, and maybe there's some other stuff. Once you sign that kid, that's not the headline that people see all over the country. The thing college football people see all over the country is like, whoa, Tennessee just signed the number one running back in the country. They don't get all the other stuff. Now, if it blows up in your face, it blows up in your face, and you got to deal with it. But the perception will be that Jeremy Pruitt has pulled a rabbit out of the hat.
The one thing I would look at with him, too, is he doesn't have, at least so far as I know, the problems that he has are, you know, it's not anything where he would be a danger to anybody on campus coming here. I've just heard he's just kind of, what was the word you used, mercurial?
Yes, that's the word for the day.
Maybe just kind of, you know, whack job.
It's a great way to put it.
I mean, if the coaches, if Pruitt and those guys think they can deal with it and develop him, then sure.
If he's worth the risk.
Well, that's pretty great. We were just talking about Zach Evans. Looks like he posted about 6 hours ago on Instagram, ain't going to Florida, no capping, though. No, I'm sorry, keep capping, though.
Keep you younger capping, kids,
what does
though?
Keep capping mean?
I'm not a kid. I have no idea.
Do I really have to look this up on Google? What does capping mean?
Yeah, you're going to have to because Hayden's from...
No lying. Okay, no lying. So going to Florida.
Yeah, he canceled his visit.
So he's saying keep not lying?
Keep capping, though. Oh, he's telling other people to keep lying, though. Y'all keep lying, though. Act like I'm going to Florida. I ain't going to Florida. Y'all keep lying, though.
I mean, he canceled his visit.
Dead emoji.
A millennial translator in here this afternoon. All right, Hayden, you
he lives.
You get a stay of execution today.
You giving it to him?
Yeah. He's come through. I mean, he's had a couple of quality contributions to the show today.
Keep capping.
Much like Jordan Bowden, you need to have a little bit of consistency, okay?
Mm-hmm. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
As we begin the new
sports radio experience like no other, this is The Drive.
Kevin Steele's new 3-year deal at Auburn will pay him $2.5 million per year, making him the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football.
And Gus hired Chad Morris. It's almost like he's saying, I dare you to fire me.
Tigers have finished top 20 nationally in scoring defense each of Steele's 4 seasons at Auburn. He's been good. Finals for our job. Jeremy Pruitt, you ever wonder in an alternate universe, like what
if he hadn't
Tennessee
had
football
70 hung on him in the bowl game,
or if he hadn't been just a miserable failure at Baylor, like what would Tennessee football look like as we've just finished year 2 of the Kevin Steele era?
Looking for a new coach.
He'd probably be on a hot seat. I don't know if he's got the juice to do it nowadays.
Might not have lost to Georgia State.
Yeah, I chalk that one up now to just one of Jeremy's growing pains.
Now he's an apologist.
Learning on the job. I can love him and still have a nuclear bomb ready to go at any moment on him.
What are some other examples of Jeremy's growing pains, as you put it?
The BYU game. Because I think he should have probably taken, since he's the cornerback whisperer, maybe should have looked at his secondary one last time and said, look, the only way we get beat is if you do something stupid
did that?
And bite up on the hitch. Who knows? I wasn't over there.
I heard it was Winky's fault.
That's not even. You can't draw me out like that, man. It's amateur hour.
That was too obvious, John. Tennessee fans upset that Keon Johnson did not make McDonald's All-American. He's number 26 player.
Which Tennessee fan? The social media, the Vol Twitter?
Well, yeah, but he's hurt right now, right? He just had a major knee operation. I don't know that. And
meniscus.
So he hasn't played his senior year in high school. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not triggered.
Damn you. Just because you had surgery doesn't mean you keep him off the list. Haters.
North Carolina struggling this year. They got four guys in the McDonald's All-American game.
They'll be back soon.
Roy ain't going to lay around waiting for – I guess that's why they didn't have room for Jaden Springer. They got four other dudes going in there.
I mean, it sounds like we're going to get a look at the other Duke, the ones that Duke got.
Very impressive. Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Out question, if you're just joining us tonight, 7 p.m. in Connecticut. Tennessee and UConn, the rivalry that defined a sport for so long, resumes after a 13-year hiatus. Gino Auriemma will shake Kelly Harper's hand, and this rivalry will recommence. Where does Gino rank among all-time Vol villains? And we have had a lot of good responses coming in on the Twitter sphere as Tennessee fans. Certainly, I mean, I think he's top two. I think he's got to be top two, right up there with Steve Spurrier. We've seen a lot of interesting.
Is John Curry a villain? Or is he just empathy?
I think he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
John Curry?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
He reminded me of, I know I've said it on the air before, you remember that movie Unnecessary Roughness?
Yeah.
With Scott Bakula?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember the Weasley Dean kind of had the cul-de-sac kind of haircut? You know, he's kind of bald on top.
I don't, actor. But.
That's who John Curry reminded me of, was that guy.
Dan Wolkin has received a lot of votes. I never read Chuck's top 10. Here's his top 10 most despised coaches. By the way, Phil with a vote for Joe B. Hall.
Oh, he sent in some more.
Number one, according to Chuck, Gino. Number two, Spurrier. Number three, Bear Bryant. Four, Patino. Five, Pat Dye. Six, Lou Holtz.
Ooh.
Seven, Calipari. Eight, Muschamp. Nine, Butch. And 10, Schiano.
I think Butch ought to be closer to the top. I didn't even think about him.
Yeah, but he has to be an outsider, man.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to say he is an outsider, but it can't be somebody who actually coached here. And that's why I would probably take Mike Hamilton, John Curry, Dave Hart out as well. Like, people outside agitators will say.
How's Urban Meyer not been mentioned yet?
That is a great question.
What do you really do to Tennessee, though?
He's at a whole nother level of just sleazy, the sleaziest of the sleaze balls.
But we're talking about things people did to Tennessee. You can't just say Tennessee's biggest villains just because they are who they are.
Well, I mean, Urban Meyer, very punchable face. He's just not a likable person. And when you put him at, for what many people consider to be our most hated rival, you put him down there, yeah. He is not well liked, and he put it on Tennessee a couple of times. I think he ran up the score a couple of times.
That national championship year?
Well, he won two down there. I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, both years they just bludgeoned us.
I know you said no in like no one inside the Tennessee program, but Kiffin.
Yeah.
I mean,
Orgeron.
Yeah, that's who Hayden. Just
he's calling the recruits, telling them not to go to class.
Yeah.
Monty staying a day longer just so he could get that $1 million check. How about that one?
Brad on Twitter wants to know what kind of sub Bear will be picking up tonight prior to the Lady Vols game.
What kind of sub?
Sub sandwich. Don't you, is that your thing? Like, you get a sub? I don't know. I thought I knew what this guy was asking. I thought I knew what he was talking about, but now that I've read the question, no. Did you say something? No, you were talking about
I mean, I might go.
Was that what you had for Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving this year?
Oh, Christmas.
Last year?
But I ended up, you know, calling an audible on Thanksgiving. I ate a taco salad.
That seems about right. Tyler says a lot of people would say Lee Humphrey is on that list.
Lee Humphrey,
nah,
why?
He went. If
did
he
we
had,
offer him?
I don't think so. If he had a Tennessee offer and he chose Florida over us, that's one thing. I mean, it's the same thing with Spurrier. It's like we didn't, and I don't. Obviously,
we were still running the wing
there.
Too.
Yeah, I don't know if we recruited him at all or if it was just one of those things where we were recruiting him and he was never going to come here because he wanted to throw it. And we were still running the wing tee the single wing.
Yeah, we had to what? Dewey? Was that when Dewey was here? Are Dewey and Spurrier in the same?
No, Dewey was a little bit older, I want to say. Spurrier, I want to say, was like 63. Dewey's first year was like 66, 67, something like that.
Someone you mentioned, Russ, at break was James Franklin.
Oh.
Ooh. Actually, that was me.
Was it you, Bear? Oh, I'm sorry, Bear. Yeah. I'll give you the credit there. Bear said it. Yeah. He has a very punchable face.
Who, Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's
more punchable
Franklin,
than Urban Meyer.
I put them in the same category.
I mean, if you could only throw one punch for the rest of your life.
See, I have a bias.
Who would it be?
And you got Urban Meyer and James Franklin standing right in front of you.
Yeah.
You only got one punch. Just one. You got to make it count, man.
Who's on my – I'm a righty. So when they're both standing in front of me, I would hit whoever is on my right and swing hard enough so the follow through, I could get both of them. Pop, pop.
Oh. I thought James Franklin was always a nice dude.
James Franklin?
He's
really
very charming.
Cool dude.
He's very charming.
Most sociopaths are.
Yeah. And he's also sleazy. The kind of guy, like, the kind of things he did, the jabs and all that stuff, was the stuff that Tennessee fans loved Lane Kiffin for when he was here.
He had to do it to build his program up.
It's kind of the same kind of stuff that Tennessee fans loved Bruce Pearl for when he was here.
For 5 years, people loved watching James Franklin Vanderbilt. College game day went to Vanderbilt.
If he never beat us, if he never beat Tennessee, I don't think Tennessee fans would have a problem. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Probably not as much.
Pop off.
I thought he got out of Dodge while the getting was good. And I think I think he knew a hell of a lot more about what happened that
night.
Yeah,
but then I look at it too. That was almost like a dream job. You're going back to a school that is 40 miles away from your hometown. I don't know. I think it was just a perfect opportunity.
All I'm saying is I feel like personally to me,
he
got off extremely easy and didn't get caught up in the mess with the fact that two of his football players are going to served pretty much the rest of their lives in jail for just a brutal gang rape. And how many other guys went to jail over it?
Those phone messages.
Five total, pretty sure.
Those texts and phone messages kind of got Epstein'd out of there real quick, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do a quick break. Quick timeout. It's The Drive. We'll be right back to wrap up hour number two of the show. Stay with us. You are tuned in to Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
I mean, it really is one of the great what-ifs, probably the greatest what-if. And we sports fans are, and it's the most fun sports radio game to play. We do it all the time with Tennessee. What if Tennessee hadn't crapped the bed against LSU in the 0-1 championship game? Without a doubt, the biggest what-if is Steve Spurrier graduates from Science Hill High School in 1963. He doesn't come here because we're still running the single wing. 1963 was the buffer year between Bowden Wyatt and Doug Dickey. Doug Dickey comes in 1964 and has a great run at Tennessee. He brings the wing tee. We start throwing it. We win two, I want to say, SEC championships, 1967, 1969. Certainly
first
1969.
5 years?
Yeah. Wow. And then he leaves after the 69 season. If Steve Spurrier had come to Tennessee and been our wing tee QB. I guess freshmen were probably ineligible in 64, but you know, he would have won up maybe that Heisman at Tennessee.
Yeah. He could have.
And he might.
That year he came in here with Duke, and when he beat Johnny, did the powers that be blow Johnny out at the end of that year? The one where we started 0-6?
No, because we won our last six, and it was very similar to this year. There was a lot of momentum heading into that offseason. I don't know. I mean, we say that. It would have been different. Because I know fans are listening to this right now saying, yeah, but, you know, Johnny would have been a coach earlier. Spurrier wouldn't have been hireable in 1977. And you're not going to push Johnny out at any point, you know, to get him. And then, of course, Fulmer's on staff. But everything's different if Spurrier is a Vol, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everything's different if he's out there, if he's having success in the USFL or wherever he's having it at Duke. And we're all watching that. At some point, we want that, right? And even if he does go to Florida or somewhere else and starts having success, there would be a point where Tennessee fans are like, let's bring Steve home.
It had been the Gruden factor.
And it might very well have happened.
The one thing that I've seen that could have happened, what if we had brought in Johnny Majors instead of Bill Battle to replace Dickey?
What year was Johnny Majors hired?
77.
So 77.
He was already, I think he was already a head coach where, like, Iowa State.
Was he? Yeah, it was Iowa State. Had he experienced any success to speak of at that time?
Didn't he? He just went in the Hall of Fame at Iowa State this past year.
He went to Pitt in what, like 71 or 72?
Yeah. And then quickly recruited Tony Dorsett.
I don't know, man. I mean, Iowa State, what was their profile back then? There are just so many things. I can't really speak
on. I honestly don't know. I just remember seeing him on a halftime. They were honoring him at midfield.
So in 1970, he was his first head coaching job was Iowa State. He would have had 2 years, 68 and 69, at Iowa State, in which he went 3-7 both years. Is Johnny Majors hireable in 1970? Knowing what we know now, it's like, yeah, go ahead. Like, let him take his lumps or whatever. But
back then,
I think it would have been different because he would have walked in and taken over a team that had just won the SEC championship. We were loaded back then. So when Hacksaw Reynolds and
– I don't know, man. Like, none of us were there, obviously. Could you have sold in 1970? We're bringing this guy in. He is 6-14 as a head coach at Iowa State.
Yeah, but it's 1970, dude. There wasn't social media or anything. They would have gotten it.
What was Chizik's record at Iowa State when he took the Auburn job?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, didn't he have like
it was like 3-19 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe brutal. Less than that.
I just thought that would be an interesting what if. What if Johnny instead of Bill Battle? And then you wouldn't have had all of the 70s and maybe wouldn't have been lost.
This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. They're the official bank of the drive. Earn 1.75% annual percentage yield and get free ATM fee refunds through checking account at Citizens National Bank. 865-453-9031 to speak to a rep today. 453-9031 or just go online to cnbtn.com. to find the branch nearest you. Coming up, hour number three of The Drive. We'll get your top five at five with John Tyler when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.